terrorists declare war on the United States.
Military officials here at the Pentagon are confirming that seven are dead. At
least. Armored vehicle stands guard.
Downtown New York in chaos.
The 7.0 quake was centered roughly 10 miles from the capital city.
We want the public to feel safe.
Thousands likely dead.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast. Things that never change. God and His Word. Join Pastor Randy Reams as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
There in Leviticus, the promise is contingent on you doing it God's way and being obedient. See, there was a problem. It's called a sin problem. Boy, I would love to be at the debates for presidents and bring this up. You know, the problem isn't Republican, isn't Democrat. The problem isn't that philosophy or this philosophy or that program. The problem in America is a sin problem. Well, that don't preach too well, Bo. I can tell you, that don't go over well. I'd rather have you tell me you'll get $60, $100-fold for your money you give in the offer. That I'd rather tell you, right? So you can get your stuff. But they had a sin problem. Sin in three areas. We only think of Achan's sin when we talk about the story. But we have sin, and I'll break them down, in leadership, corporate sin, and then personal sin, of course, of Achan. So let's break it down a bit. First of all, Joshua didn't seek God, and he was given specific instructions in Numbers to seek God. He says, you're going to be different than Moses. Moses got to see me face to face, but you're supposed to go to the priest and talk to them using the Urim and the Purim, those stones that they talked about. Okay, we've talked about that before. That's what you're supposed to do, is supposed to seek God through the priesthood. Did you see him do this here? Uh-uh. So, then he waits till after the disaster to seek God. I know you've never done that. And never done until you lost the job, but then started to pray. See? Till you married the wrong person, then you started to pray. Till you bought the car, you didn't pray about it before. Did that new truck look so good? Budget. You know, when it was such a deal, so I made a flat decision, and now I'm asking God to bless my finances and take care of me. And now that the disasters come, it's not a good idea. And I think sometimes here's why. Because if I seek God, you know what he says to a new pickup? No! But you see, I'd look good in, now we've gotten something else. We'll talk about that. I suggest, I'm sure it's not with you, but I would suggest the reason most people don't pray or read their Bible, because there God convicts you. The Holy Spirit will convict you through the Word of God and spending time with God. And then I have to make some changes, Nelton. I sort of like what I'm doing now, thank you. Joshua, as the leader, doesn't do what God told him to do. Seek me first. And he is blaming God. God, why am I in this mess? Okay, Joshua, first, let's start with you. Wait a minute. Can't we just talk about Achan instead? Because, you know, look what Achan did. But I'm thinking Joshua probably learned something out of this. Because you find out he does seek God and gets an answer on how to do it. Okay? Then you had the corporate sin. And that corporate sin was pride. All right? They thought they could do it in their own wisdom and strength. I mean, after all, look at Jericho. They just come off an amazing victory. I'm going to suggest to you, and this is what frustrates you about your own walk with Christ. You can walk out of a... Come on, how many of you went to youth camp as a kid? Anybody? Anybody? How many can't remember being a kid? No. All right. But come on, everybody had the great last night of camp, and all the young come back excited, and a week later. Because I'm going to guarantee you, when you have a great victory, it's time the enemy says, I can't keep that going. I mean, if I let them ride right here all the time, I'm in trouble. I got to do something. And so you come along. You've just had a great, amazing time on your ride home from work, just listening to the word on the radio or worshiping. You come home and you walk in the door and the family flies apart. Okay? it happens this way. We've talked about God. The enemy can't leave you there. He'll give you a word. This is out of Matthew in the parable of the sower. But remember, the enemy comes to steal the word. One of the ways he does it is making you believe that it was us. Oh, yeah, pastor, I've been out of work 6 months. I need a job. God, give me a job. God gives you a job. A year later, I don't understand. My boss didn't give me my raise. You know how hard I work, how amazing I am, how incredible I am. Wait a minute, you didn't get that job because you were incredible. You got that job because God gave it to you. And now you think you deserve a raise because you're so incredible. Oh, no. You prayed for a husband or a wife and you got one. I don't deserve to be treated like this. I'm so amazing and wonderful. You sure? When you couldn't find one, you didn't think you were so amazing and wonderful, and then God gave you one. Now, whatever time later, you're amazing and wonderful, and he or she owes you something. Oh, I've seen this in pastors all the time. Struggle 15, 20 years, church ain't grown, didn't do anything. All of a sudden, explosion. Now they write a book on 7 ways to grow your church. You didn't grow the church, brother, I'll guarantee it. God grew the church. And God didn't give the same plan for Ai that he gave for Jericho. So don't send me your book. I'm sorry, I'll leave that alone. All right? Pride always makes the enemy appear less than he is. You can write that down. You can tweet that. Pride always makes the enemy appear smaller than he is. Oh, we can do this, Nelta. Just send a few. Yeah. This ain't a big problem. Just a short little prayer will work. Yeah, because your prayer is the thing that does it, right? Not the will of God. Anyway, but I want you to notice, man's wisdom times man's strength. The number of man is? 6 times 6 is what? How many guys died? 36. Just checking. I actually stole that from Chuck Missler. I don't want to take credit for that. All right. Pride always makes the enemy appear less than he is, but catch this part. Now after they come along and they're operating in fear, fear always makes the enemy appear greater than he really is. But I like the bottom. Focusing on God always puts the enemy into the proper perspective. We talked about that as I began worship this morning. When you look at God as the answer, you don't run to him in the boat and say, "Don't you care that we're going to perish? There's a storm." God's in the boat with you. He gave you the command. You're going to get to the other side, and you're worried you're going to drown. Compare that to Paul. Paul says, "God gave me a word. I'm going to Rome." They get in a storm so bad that the experienced sailors start throwing everything overboard and saying, "We're going to die." And Paul says, "You don't understand. I was given a word. If you'll just shut up and listen, we'll be all right." Now, you may get there like they did on a piece of floating wood when the boat got torn apart, so your faith isn't in boats. You might get there and a snake might bite your hand. But when you put your focus on God, always puts the enemy, the fight, the storm, in the proper perspective. Because I can do all things with Christ. Now, I can do all things. We can go up and take them. No, you can't. But you and God can. I can't overcome that. I've been trying to overcome this past sin, Pastor, for years now, and I just can't beat it. Well, quit trying. Why don't you draw closer to God and see what happens? Quit trying to quit, to stop, to change that. Start growing closer to God and see what happens. Now we have personal sin. We have sin on all levels here. So what happens, Achan knew better, because in chapter 6, verse 18, is when God gives a grace, don't touch anything in Jericho. So he's already been given the word. He knows. The Bible already says, when you're a borrower, you're a slave to the lender. Then you cry out to God and ask him to get you out of slavery. You already knew it. What was his sin? Look at this. We think his sin is just taking the stuff. If you look at verse 11, here in chapter 7, he lied. He stole. You have to tie that, Malachi chapter 3. You have to. Because who did he steal from? God, not Israel, not Jericho, but from God. And the Bible tells us how we steal from God. Everybody's familiar with Malachi chapter 3, right? Well, you ask, how do you rob me? And how does God answer? with your tithes and your offerings. Now, I'm going to do a mess a little bit with you. Remember when we talked about type and anti-type, right? The type of the priest, the type of the anti-type, Christ. The type of the tabernacle, the type of the heavenly tabernacle. The anti-type is always greater than the type. The principle of divine portion being reinforced here. In the Old Testament, the type was 10% in the Old Testament. So what does that say about the New Testament anti-type? It's got to be greater. For the typology to work, it's got to be greater. Oh, Pastor, I don't have to give 10%. I agree. Just follow the anti-type, will you? Whatever that is, then you're right. You're right. You're not obligated to the type. You don't sacrifice a lamb anymore. That was the type. We have Christ, the anti-type. He's greater than that lamb. If the principal divine portion is played out, and we've talked about this before, is played out in the Israeli history through the tithe. It even comes before the tithe. It comes in the Garden of Eden. All the trees are yours. That one's mine. People of the earth, Israelites, they're mine. Matter of fact, those who bless you, those who curse you, those are mine. Don't touch the Jews. I got to wonder how Hitler's doing right now. Don't touch them because you took God's stuff. Just think about that. That you have to tithe. I don't mean to do that to you. But when you steal from God, that's the context. You got to, if you're a good Bible student, you got to go to where the Bible says you steal from me. But then he claims God's stuff as his own. He thinks the tithe is his. Or the anti-tithe. Whatever that is. He thinks it's his. He puts it, you read verse 7, and he claims these as his own possessions. Well, it's my money. It's my family. It's my life. It's my freedom. Under grace. Well, you have missed it. It's God's grace, first of all, and it's not yours. He claimed it as his. Lord, forgive me when I say my church. I know it's just the words I use, but God, I don't really want to claim your church. I do it. I'm going to be real. As a pastor, I do it. Maybe you do it. But God, it's your church. I didn't save one of the people sitting in this pew. I can't carry him every day by grace. I can't do any of that. I can't make you retain or remember or even pay attention to the sermon. Okay, amen to that. Okay, all right, that's God. And so, God, forgive me if I ever say that in a way that really claims it. It's not just a statement. That the Bible tells us that was his sin. I ask myself like I do with Joshua, God, where did I didn't do it? The way you've already told me how. And forgive me, God, when I make those decisions and do those things without seeking you first. Father, forgive me when I act in pride like it's somehow it's getting done by what I do. God, forgive me. And God, forgive me when I claim your stuff is mine. I'm lying and I'm stealing. God, I thank you for the wife I have and the children I have because they are yours. No. See, when the Bible says, love your wife as Christ loved the church, because I realize she ain't mine. She's his. I honor God through loving my wife. Ladies, that means the other part of that's in there too. I'll leave that alone. When you honor and respect your husband, you honor and respect God because that's his. Oh, man. We won't preach that one. It's not in my notes. Here's something you got to know, though. Notice that God doesn't allow. No, let's get real. Joshua's sin wasn't private. Oh, spot. Yeah, let's do that. Weren't you there when God said he's supposed to seek to preach? Yeah, okay. His sin wasn't private. Everybody knew that out front. The people, yeah, we can do this. We can go out there and get them. They proclaimed it before everybody. Everybody knew that. But Achan's sin was private. Trust me, listen to me. Young people, listen to me. Your sin will hurt others. Why? Why does God have everybody in Israel pay for David's sin? Well, first he's the leader and you got the principle of representation. Why would God link Achan's sin to this process? Because when it affects others, it'll find you out. So when you're having an affair, married person, it'll hurt your wife or your husband or your children. Well, that ain't fair that they get. Yeah, but that's how it comes out in the open. Amen. Oh. You see? God, one of the ways he brings it in the open, that we might come to repentance and the body of Christ might be purged. And restoration may come. If you don't believe that, look at Paul when he says the guy, it's with his father's wife, his stepmom, throw him out. There's divisions in the body because of this stuff. Throw him out for the sake of the body and deliver him over to Satan, remember? And so he can be restored. Now, what happens here in Achan's case is pretty ugly, to be honest. Well, first, I got to say this. Gentlemen, fathers and husbands, look at me. Your sin will cost your family. It will hurt them. Maybe you think you're tough and you can handle it, but I want you to look at your baby girl and tell me she can handle it. Go look at that tender-hearted, loving wife God gave you and tell me she can handle it when your sin comes out and what it cost. Same way, mama, but particular husbands, the role we play. But come on, mama, I want you to look at that little child that you changed diapers on, that you kissed their boo-boos, and it hurts you when they're hurt. Your sin will hurt them. You better get it out of the way. Hurry. Look, what they do to Achan is this. Now, notice they come by families. That's the solution. God has them come by families. See, that's why we meet as families in the church, not by age groups. God doesn't deal with things in the Bible by age group only once. Can't anybody tell me when that is? Kadesh Barnea. One generation says just the opposite of what happens here. These guys say, yeah, we can. We can do this. Don't talk about it. The other guys go, no, we can't. They were on the fear side, the bug giants and so on. That whole generation loses out. But God deals in families. Man, I don't need to, you guys know this. He's the God of Isaac and Jacob. Not the adults, the teenagers, and the children. Not the adult church, the youth group, and the children's church. He deals in families. Mom and dad. The greatest form of evangelism on the planet is family. You can spend all kinds of money on programs, big events, VBSs, and crusades, but nothing's more effective than the family as evangelism. Okay? Let me put my eyeballs on, see my notes here. Yeah. And that is true in the body of Christ. We're the family of God. We're the body of Christ. Paul talks about when one hurts, the other hurts. Get one person in the body of Christ discontent and unhappy and sharing it with others and see what happens. Okay, how many? Hey, kids, listen. Ready? Mom and dad's been talking about the trip to the park, the picnic, for a week. And you're excited, kids. You're excited about going to the picnic in the park, eating cold fried chicken and potato salad. Don't do that. I'll make me hungry. All right, and you're excited. But one of your brothers or sisters becomes whiny.
I don't want to go to the park. That's no fun. I don't want to eat cold chicken. Kool-Aid. I don't want no Kool-Aid.
And ruins it for everybody. Has that ever happened? You know, adults aren't any different. You get one guy complaining about work that the Christmas bonuses weren't what they're supposed to be. Next thing you know, you were happy about your bonus a while ago. Now you go home and he goes, you're right, that ain't very much. We're all connected. And our sin gets that way. But I ask you this, why did God bother? Why didn't he just strike Achan dead? Have some good private time with Josh. All right, and get this worked out. Because you don't understand, I got a whole land for you, not just a city. And if I can teach you now what it takes in his kingdom, in his economy, and how he works, for you to take possession of that promise and keep it, if you will, not the promise of salvation, I'm not talking about that, that's in Christ, you can't do anything to keep that, you can't do anything to get it. But you want, the Bible talks about joy, fulfillment, and all those things that come in the kingdom. And you're talented. You got gifts, man. You can sing like angels. You study the Bible and you got scriptures memorized like there's no tomorrow. Yeah, your gifts, the Bible says, will get you before great men. But your character will get you thrown out in a hurry. So people ask me, young men might ask me, I called the marriage, what do I got to do? I said, number one, you got to be faithful. Because God is faithful. Second is, get rid of the junk. How many preachers, you know, got caught? Because they never shed the junk. Okay? God's telling Israel, you got to shed this stuff. You got to understand. And he might allow, this is rough. He might allow his sin to come open to wake you up to yours, to give you some wisdom in the process. God has things for us to fulfill his purpose. And he has to prep you, develop you, mature you to the point where when you walk into the place where he has for you, you don't destroy it. I mean, the Bible's full of the stories. God says, I have this place for you, a place of fulfillment, a place of purpose, a place where the joy of the Lord is my strength, a place where, I don't want you to shoot yourself in the foot in the process. So if I got to drag you through some stuff to get to this point, they don't do it again like they did at AI. Right? Did God need the stuff? No. It was a matter of obedience. Remember, there's a guy named David, has a heart after God, goes in and takes the bread out of the... Isn't that devoted stuff? How come he didn't get zapped? Well, we'll get that when we get there. But you got, God can't let you rest. You look at somebody and you go, how come their life's okay? And you know how they live. I mean, I know how they, and I know, and I don't understand why I'm, because God's got more for you than he does for them. What? Yeah. They can stay right there. They can be right there. But for you, he has something different for you. So he can't let you, young person, listen to me. You can't get by with it. Because God put you in the family you're in. He chose where you were to be born. Because he has a purpose that's through those parents that set those rules for you that you whine and complain about. You don't get to be like the other kids. Whose parents don't set rules but also can't tell you anything about the Bible. Ran into a little boy recently. His parents go to church, like that was said, and I know what church. Little guy didn't, and he's my kid's age, didn't know what the Ten Commandments were. Not, couldn't list them. He didn't know what the Ten Commandments are. See, some people, that kid, I'm going to tell you, probably ain't going to go through what you will go through. Those people over there at church, wherever, it's all about feeling good, and you don't understand why God just, they're just doing fine, but over here, it don't work that way, because you're going to get the word over here. You've got something, he's going to hold you to another place. Why? Because he's got a purpose for you to fulfill. So when you go to the barber or the beauty shop, God actually expects you to open your mouth and talk about Christ. Yeah? That's why you feel guilty when you go 2 miles over the speed limit. When you left your grocery cart in the middle of the Fred Meyer parking lot and didn't put it back. No, I understand if you got a baby and all that. Okay, but like, why do other people get by with that? Because they're never going to share Christ with anybody. Most people don't, by the way. Most people in the church never lead anybody to Christ. But God's called you to do it, at least if you're in this place. He's called you to do it. And about the time you share Christ at the barbershop, the beauty shop, whatever, and then off to the grocery store you go. And just about the time you coming out, one of those other people sitting in the barbershop is going in. Yeah, that was the guy that was talking about Jesus. Do you see what he did with his cart? Now, really, is that a sin? No. But God's bringing the conviction on you, but he's called you to be and do more for his kingdom. So when God does bring that discipline, because he's got more for you. As I coached football throughout the year, there were kids that you knew, probably, you know, they're not going to be college players. They'd just be happy if they got to play on Friday night. But then there was others. And you love and encourage those boys too. But then there's that other one. And you ride this boy. You ride him. Because you know he's going to be all conference. If he listens, God gave him something he didn't give the other kid. You know, you love them both the same. But you ride him. You ride your kid because you see their potential. I don't. You see them every day. You see what they can do. Right? And I look and I judge you because you make your kids take piano lessons or something, for example, or make them go to church. I hear that all the time. They judge you because you make your kids go to church. My kids can choose. I don't even address that. Why? Because you know what is in your kid and what they can be in Christ. So you want to get them in the place where they can find the things that they need of Christ so they can be what they... Is it because you're mean and cruel? No. Okay, I think I beat that dead horse. All right, let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we look at your word, we see this very natural story, but we also see your spiritual truths applied. God, help us wherever our area is, and whatever one of these three areas, God, that we looked at, whatever it is in us, will you help us, God? Actually put us in your word that we might see our sin? Not, God, so we can be condemned, but we can be convicted and moved by your spirit to draw closer to you and thereby change. Man, God, it just doesn't seem right to pray for you to point out our problems, point out our sin. But God, you can do that. It's okay. I give you permission. Just don't use my wife. That's too hard. Come on. God, help me. Because I recognize if I move like Joshua and I don't seek you first, these people hurt. God, if I'm keeping the personal thing, it's my family, it hurts. But God, I pray that you would motivate me in love and thanksgiving for who you are and what you've done. That would be enough in me to desire to shed off every sin that so easily entangles so I can go conquer other cities as you've called me to do. That your name would be glorified in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.